listening to the Online Supercoach Podcast, the place where business owners create breakthroughs. Here's your host, AJ Mirza.
All right, here we are with Coach Kyle. Super excited to have him on. I've known Kyle for many years. We actually met at a mastermind, and him and his wife, they were super cool when I met them. We kept in touch online, and he always just was a nice guy, very supportive, kind of saw me go through a lot of stuff. I saw him go through a lot of stuff, and about 3 months ago, we had a great conversation where Kyle asked me to coach him, and I was really honored because Kyle is a successful super coach in his own right, and he's been killing it for many years, and now I was able to help him develop his group program. He was doing a lot of one-on-one main coaching, working with networking referrals. And then he had a monster month of December. I believe it was 36K in a month where everyone slows down. And now he's on track to doing 90K for January. And that's very, very, very impressive. So, of course, I want to have Kyle share his amazing wisdom. And he's got a brilliant mind. He does a lot of cool stuff. And we're going to be hearing all about that. So, Kyle, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, man. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So, hey, let's kick things off with a quote or a mantra that fires you up.
The thing that really gets me going, I guess, as I posted to you earlier, I'm a firm believer in if it's meant to be, it's up to me. And, you can make all the excuses you want in the world, but if you want something done, you'll find a way to do it. So I think the quote actually is written, if the goal is really important to you, you'll find a way. Otherwise, you'll find an excuse. And so
yes.
I find ways, not excuses.
I've noticed that. And I think you definitely practice what you preach, because I've always seen you as a man who preaches self-responsibility, doing the hard work, getting the result. And I've never heard you complain, you just always been very positive. And at the same time, you make stuff happen, but you don't whine or make excuses. And I really respect that, because I don't think there's any victim DNA in your system.
Oh man, I think we all have a little bit of that. I certainly save that for behind the scenes. There's times where I get down on myself, or, something in the news or something I see pisses me off or lights me up. I try and, control those emotions and to make sure that the image that I put out in the marketplace and in public is that of enthusiasm and encouragement and helping others and making sure we're staying on the right track. Cause I can't control what goes on around me. I can only control my reaction to it.
Absolutely. I agree with that. And at the same time, you want to be a great role model for your family. And I would love for you to share your family dynamic, because I think this will be inspirational to hear just about, how you juggle parenting and a successful business.
Yeah. Well, that's through a massive amount of help from my wife. Obviously she does most of the hard stuff with them. I'm the guy who gets to come in and play Disneyland dad, to be honest. I get the fun times. So obviously I'm probably the enforcer and sometimes too. So, I do have a large family for this day and age. I've got four kids. The oldest is 27. She's married and does her own thing. That's from a previous relationship that I had. And I have a son from that same relationship who's 23 now. Wow. And so she's off doing her thing. My son's doing his thing. He's a welder fabricator. My daughter's a graphic designer, and her husband actually works for EA Sports. He's a sound engineer. He makes game noises. He actually specializes in the FIFA game, the soccer game.
Oh yes. Famous game.
Yeah. And then at home I have my two younger children that are 14 and 16. Both great kids. All my kids are great, but these two are obviously with me a whole lot more than the older kids were. And that was part of my reason for becoming a coach, to be honest. You didn't ask me that question earlier, but in my first relationship, I was a slave to a job working for the man, right? Like everyone else. And as I started to grow up and things started to morph in my life, I watched my two younger or older kids not really have me around much. Part of that was because of the distance and divorce, but part of that was because I was working a job and I couldn't get away. And so when we were embarking on having my fourth child, mine and Marina's second child, I had an opportunity to expand and grow myself. And I was kind of looking to leave the corporate world. And this opportunity for coaching came up and I'm like, this is perfect. It's going to allow me to do the things I want to do. And like, it sounds stupid, but just as much as something as simple as taking your kid to the first day of school in September, or being there when school's getting out at the end of the day, or, you know, going to all those concerts and all the activities that they do, or being the dad who can take them to the sporting things that all their friends' dads aren't at. And that meant a lot to me. I wanted to be involved in that. And I wasn't able to do that with the first two kids. So I wanted to make sure I made up for lost time with the second two and actively do that. That's super important to me.
I love that. I love that. I love how you put family first and you focus on your lifestyle and freedom, you know, and making the time for the special moments. And that's one of the great benefits of having an online coaching business is you get to work on your own terms. You set up a specific schedule that allows you to serve your clients and at the same time, be there for your family for those special moments.
Absolutely. You know, you follow the last couple of years, I think, online. And one of the things I wanted to really work on, not just the time, but activities with them. And so, and over the last year and a bit, we bought some property in the US, and we live in Canada, bought some property a couple hour drive away. And I wanted to make sure that they had a spot to go and do things that were new to them. So we bought on a water ski lake and we built a house and spent all of COVID lockdown at the start. We spent six and a bit months was what we were allowed. We spent at the lake and I finished building the house, and this kid skied tons and rode their bikes and played and swam and all the kids things that are supposed to happen in life. I think, you know, I never got that when I was a kid, like you. I came from a fairly humble, poor background, and I wanted to be able to provide those things for my family. So
that's beautiful. Yes. Yes. You know, I think anyone who struggled as a child or came from poverty, and you get to create something for your family, it's a beautiful feeling. And I love that you share that amazing lake house, because I remember when you turned the water from green to blue. I didn't know that was a thing. I don't know. You could take swamp water and make it blue. That's fascinating to me.
Yeah. Yeah. It was something that they do down there. They do on golf courses a lot too. Apparently they dye golf course lakes and ponds black.
Wow.
We wanted ours to look tropical. So we dyed it from a murky brown gray color to a bright Caribbean blue. And we do that every year. It's pretty cool.
It's more blue than my swimming pool. I give you a lot of respect for that.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
So, hey, let's hear, you know, how your life was before you really developed your online coaching business.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been at this for a bit now, AJ. I'm going into my 13th year of coaching. December was the end of year 12. And everything I'd done to that point was traditional forms of marketing. You know, I started out with phone cold calling, door knocking. I hired telemarketers and people to help me with sales, get the word out. I did newspaper and radio and, you know, all the traditional stuff. And then, you know, email marketing was starting to come in. So I did some stuff there and I did some stuff on social media. Never could figure out how to make it work for me. You know, I think, and I'm a high ticket item. That's part of the reason why my sales number in December and proposed for January is going to be pretty decent, because I'm expensive. I'm not ashamed or afraid to say that. So, you know, to bridge that gap from no relationship with someone to having some form of communication, sort of building as an expert, or I never look at it that way though. I don't think of myself as an expert. You know, I'm always like struggling with how do I position this? Right. So, you know, setting up the online stuff and doing the videos and getting a 7-day challenge going, I'd never done it. And as I said, you know, to you and the rest of the team, in my private time, private coaching sessions, you know, I didn't know how to do that and how to bridge that gap from free to 30 grand a year. Cause that's what a year is for me with the client. It's 2,500 bucks a month or 30 grand up front. So I didn't know how to do that. How do you go from giving all this value for free to, okay, now here's the bill and it's really expensive. And so I struggled with that and shooting the videos and even getting off my ass, to be honest. And that was,
I remember there was a bit of hesitation in the beginning.
Like a lot of it. I was super, super like with Celeste and with Pat and you was like, oh man, I don't know. I'm like, I don't want to mess this up. I don't want to give away all this stuff. That's my IP and I don't want to lose the opportunity. And I guess having done it now, it created a bunch of engagement. It was awesome. The first one I did was a time management 7-day challenge. And we're about to launch a money challenge here in the next little bit. We tried to launch it just before Christmas, but it was just, I think that was just my bad for being
timing.
I was excited after the 7-day one, right? I had I don't know, 60 something people sign up for the challenge. And, you know, not all those people got to the finish line, but at least I was creating content. It was awesome for my confidence, you know, standing behind a camera and doing all that and having a message. And some of it was unscripted, some of it was scripted. So I was kind of trying lots of different things. And so, you know, it's been super good because it kind of put me out as an expert. Never when I thought I was an expert, like you, I think a lot of us, you know, I do lots of reading, I do lots of learning, and you keep reading books and it's like, oh, I've heard that five times from the previous six authors, right? So is what we do really an expert driven thing, or is it just, I need to spin it a different way so someone hears it differently? And so I think that's kind of where I see myself going as time progresses and start doing more and more stuff online and doing more and more stuff with free challenges to try and kind of put my own spin on things.
Yes. Yes. And I love your videos because you have like a kind of like a show, right? You know, Coach Kyle in the car, and it's quite a car, being a car guy, a 911 turbo Porsche. So, yeah. You know, it's nice on the eyes, I must say, even though we see the leather seats, but nonetheless, you develop kind of like a way of showing up. And I remember just doing those consistent videos, man, your engagement was off the hook.
Yeah, that was kind of fun. And one of my mentors from, you know, when I started my coaching business, he does Drive Time with Brad, and he does his in a video. He does it Facebook Live. And yes. It's kind of sporadic. There's no consistency on when he does it. It just kind of shows up. And so I like that concept, and I kind of wanted to emulate that because I do think, you know, those things that you acquire from being successful, like you with your awesome car, it's a Bentley, right?
Yes. Bentley convertible.
So, you know, like when you have those things, I think people aspire to have those similar kind of things. Some people do. And those are the kind of people I want to bring on and bring along with me and have them reach their goals of, you know, getting a Bentley, a Ferrari, a Lambo, whatever that might be, and enjoying time with family or a boat or a motorbike. That's why we do what we do. Like, I don't do this to make money. Yes, I get paid and I expect to be paid, but I do it because I want to help people and I want to inspire people.
Yeah, so I agree with you. You know, it's not about the car because that's just four rubber tires and a hunk of steel. It's really about who you had to become to achieve it. And both of us being car buffs, we literally watch, you know, car races. We're obsessed with them. I'm sure you had car posters growing up. You know, it's like, wow, now we get to achieve this where we get to live our passion and drive our passion.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I just want to get some insight because I'm curious. I'm sure everyone listening is curious. How'd you go from starting off as a coach to selling a $30,000 package?
So you said it in your last statement, and that's, I decided who I wanted to be and what I wanted to become.
Yes.
And I knew there was a bunch of things I needed to do, right? So you've probably seen that old mantra of be, do, have. Like, you got to be this and you got to do this in order to have that.
Yes.
And I set some really big targets for myself. Like, I was, before leaving and becoming, you know, as an entrepreneur and doing my own thing 12 years ago, I had big aspirations and goals and things I wanted to do and achieve, things I wanted to have. And I wasn't sure ever really how to get that other than just working more.
Mm.
That's what I did all leading up to becoming a coach. I just worked more, just put more effort in. I was away more and I traveled more and wasn't working, right? And I wanted to get control of my time. And you know, I set some, like I said, some big goals, some big aspirations. And I wanted to provide a great lifestyle for my family and wanted to go forward, not kind of stall out. And that's kind of how it all started. I set really big, big, hairy, audacious goals, right? So that's who I am. I've always been that way. And I'm kind of liken it to, if someone tells me something can't be done, I want to prove them wrong. I don't care who it is. If it's someone who I kind of look up to, admire, or, you know, been in my life for a while, and they're like, oh, there's no way you're going to do that. Yeah, I'll see. You'll just stand back, watch this, right? That's kind of the way I tick. And so, you know, going from starting my coaching business, I went, you know, I was in a franchise model. Hold my beer. Yeah, exactly. So I started in a franchise model. And when I went through training with them, it was like 2 weeks of training in Vegas and everyone thinks, oh, that's awesome. Well, it was like the worst. It was 2 weeks of boot camp, like 15 hour days of just feed you with a fire hose of information. And when I was there training with these guys, and they're, you know, people are asking about, you know, what's your goal for the first year? And I'm listening to these other people around me, and I'm like, wow, like, you guys are supposed to be inspirational. You're supposed to be coaches, and you're supposed to be like leading from the front, right? And your goals aren't very inspiring, at least not to me, right? And I'm like, I want to do this. And the number was big. Like, I wanted to set a goal that I wanted to be a coach of coaches. I wanted to come back and be a trainer for this organization. And I wanted to have my income at a certain level. And I want to be the top five guys in Canada. And I wanted to be in the top 20 in the world for revenue with this coaching firm that had, at the time, 1,500 coaches around the world. And they're like, people are like, you're on crack. There's no way. There's not a hope, right? And so I got a mentor. I hired a coach myself. And I think that's also super important, you know, for any of your listeners who don't have a coach, but are asking people to pay them to coach, you're living in a fantasy land. If you don't believe in enough to pay someone to do it for you, why is someone going to pay you to do it for them? So I hired a coach, and I asked him about some of these questions that I had, and he was successful in the organization. And he said, here's what you need to do. And he kind of mapped it all out. I'm like, holy shit, this is scary. There's a lot, right? And the first one was revenue, right? And I was in the top three in Canada in the first 13 months after joining the franchise.
Wow.
And that kind of lit some people's hair on fire in the corporate level. And within 18 months, I was back giving, I was one of the trainers for them. I was the youngest tenure coach ever in their history. That no one had been a coach of coaches in under 5 years. And I did in 18 months. And then I just watched my numbers go up.
Wow.
And it was all about setting the goal, dude. You know, like, we talk about this, you got to have some sort of something to chase. You got to have a vision of what it's going to look like when you're done.
Yeah. I love that. Setting a powerful intention and then asking yourself, who do I need to become to make this a reality?
Absolutely. And that's all it was. And I just kept asking that question. What do I got to do? What do I got to do? There was a book that I just read. I'm on so many. I think I'm on my fourth book in the last 2 weeks. The five questions, something about the five questions.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's the five questions.
Yeah.
I know what book you're talking about. I read that.
So there was something that he said in there that kind of struck a chord with me. And he's like, you know, it's about who you have to become or what you have to become. I ask myself a lot, and I still ask this, what would my mentor or my person who I'm working with do in this situation? So, you know, there's a biblical quote that says, what would Jesus do?
Yeah.
I just replaced Jesus to what would Brad do? Cause he's my mentor. What would AJ do? What would Monty do? What would all these guys that are my mentors and coaches do in this scenario? You know, if I'm sitting on the couch and I'm watching TV and it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, what would Brad be doing right now? He's not sitting on the fucking couch watching Oprah Winfrey, right? He's busting his ass. He's learning something else. He's on another book. And that's all I did. Just what would Brad do? What would Brad do? What would Brad do? And that drove me to be a better person and a better coach and learn more and then ultimately give more.
I love that. I love that. No, that I do that as well. You know, I remember about a year ago, I was kind of slacking off in the gym. I was eating too much. I gained a bunch of body fat. And then I started following David Goggins. And if you've not read his book, You Can't Hurt Me, it's a phenomenal book. David Goggins is a Navy SEAL. He actually went through all the special forces trainings, and he is one of the fittest humans on earth. Literally every weekend he runs like a 100-mile marathon, and he just pushes his body and mind beyond anyone else. And then when I was getting back on track, I would ask the question, what would Goggins do? What would Goggins do? And then I would start doing push-ups or going outside, running, taking a cold shower. And whenever I'm slacking off, as my fitness role model, David Goggins is my go-to question.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. You got to have different people that you're modeling, right? Like, if it's a fitness thing, it's David Goggins. If it's a business thing, it's this other guy. If it's a personal relationships thing, it's someone else, right? It's not one person. Cause I don't, you know,
what would Trump do? A lot of things.
Yeah. Call for a riot, apparently to CNN. Don't even start, right? Let's not go there.
What would Biden do? we won't go off track.
Absolutely. I know we had that conversation once on a one-to-one, but you know, I think that's important. You got to have different people that you look up to, because everyone has something they're really awesome at, right? Like, I want to follow Elon Musk for this reason. I want to follow Bezos for this reason. I'm not going to go to Bezos for relationship advice. That's for fucking sure. Right? Or even Elon Musk. He's not a guy who I look to like, okay.
Married three times. Yeah.
Right. So like, you got to have different people, and you want your wheel of life, your wheel of business to be balanced and rounded. If you're making tons of money, but you got shit relationships. I just finished watching the Steve Jobs show movie on him. And it was like that was a prime example. And his book says that too, right? Like one of his last quotes was, and all the money in the world, and I didn't have anyone standing with me at the end. What good is that?
Yeah, it's true. That is true. Yes. And I'm obsessed with understanding the wisdom that the elderly have. So I've watched just about every video on YouTube that's like people that are over 90. And it's like, what is one piece of advice? Or people that are in dying or terminal illness, and they're sharing. Because you get the best lessons when someone is close to dying. So that is a great point. And I mean, I had a near-death experience at the age of 26. I flatlined. I was in a coma for a week. And I remember, like, when I thought it was going to be all over, seconds of the last conscious breaths that I took, all I cared about was my family and making sure that I told them that I loved them. Like, I didn't think about anything else, my business, my money, nothing else mattered but the people that I loved.
Absolutely, man. You know, I don't think you can ever really go through life preparing for it. So you just keep making those phone calls on a daily basis. And that's what most of it is now, right? It's phone calls. Yes. My mom lives 20 minutes away from me. She was going through some shit prior to Christmas and was feeling pretty down. She lives on her own. And I'm like, you know, what needs to happen? So I need people around. Come out. She lived in my house for 3.5 weeks. We drove her nuts because, you know, two younger kids, she's in her mid 70s, and she came out and stayed with us. She had some physical health issues. So she went back home to be on her own to recover, which was fine. And, you know, I just every day since she's been home, phone her every day, a couple times a day. How you doing? What do you need? What can we do? Right. And that, I think that's super important, you know, and certainly there's people that you'll do that more with than others. And my objective, and I think I shared that online a couple of days ago, was to have more FaceTime, more phone calls with people. Like, I'm kind of done. I'm getting near done with social media, with all the negativity. And I just posted to people like, hey, send me your email and your phone number. It's your birthday. And if I got your digits, you're getting a text or a phone call from me. I want personal. Like, I don't want the same 700 Facebook messages, happy birthday, that's a copy and paste, right? Like, it's not really meaningful, right?
Like, yeah, no, I do appreciate that about you, because I will say that, you know, when I was going through some challenges, I appreciate you checking up on me when I broke my leg, when I had my surgery, when I had COVID. And it's like, even like getting a message from someone when you're going through something just means so much.
Yeah. We all want that, right? Like, and it, you know, you see those quotes online, you see, you know, read stuff where it's like, you know, the person you should be reaching out to is the one who's always reaching out to others, right? Like, I know you help a shit ton of people. And so most people think, well, he's not approachable. He's helping all these other people. I'm sure someone else is helping him, or someone else is asking him, what's an extra 2 seconds out of my day to send you a note and say, hey, dude, I hope you're well.
Yeah. No. Cause, when I tore my quadricep and I was paralyzed, and, you know, that was the worst pain I ever went through. And just to see the amount of people that reached out to me, it opened up my mind. I said, wow, people really care. People I haven't spoken to in years, they're calling me, texting me. And I said, you know what? I need to be there for people, because now I know how it feels being on the other end. And it's like, whenever I see someone going through a divorce, or they're depressed, or they're venting about something, it's like, all right, stop, give them a call, text them, check up on them, because in that moment, that just means so much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. People don't know how much you know. They want to know how much you care.
Truth. So let's talk about this 90K month, right? That's a business owner's dream. Most people would love to even make that in a year. So what do you feel are the factors that are leading this month to happen?
So, you know, I watch your videos and stuff, and I've seen lots of other people, and they talk about sales and they talk about closing and all that other stuff. I'm a sales guy. I've always been a sales guy. I've always been sales and marketing, like 33 years I've been doing this. And I learned early on, it's about the relationship, and kind of backing up to what I just talked about. They want to know you care before they want to know what you know.
True.
And so I don't sell coaching. Here's what I do. Here's how I do it. Here's how it works. The rest is up to you. Like, I can't make you buy coaching. And if I sell you coaching, you're not going to last. So I'm really big on providing lots of information, adding value, like you talk about all the time, like, yes, adding value, having those conversations, and then saying, okay, what do you think? How do you think your life's going to be different a year from now if we work together versus if we don't work together?
Wow. Future pacing, and obviously bringing up the cost of staying where they are. And yeah, this is great, because Kevin is on the line, and he was sharing a lot about his sales process, you know, last week. And he was talking a lot about that, and just being very straightforward, truly caring, being authentic. one thing that he brought up that was really important, and I want to obviously mention to you, was being able to financially qualify someone, because not everyone could afford to pay $30,000 for coaching. So is that something you do beforehand? How do you figure that out before you spend an hour with someone who's not qualified?
Yeah. So I send out a background questionnaire before I talk to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that background questionnaire is a 4-page document that, you know,
wow,
I kind of partially developed, and it asks questions about, you know, kind of where their business has been, where their struggles are at, talks about all, it asks questions around all the key points that I work on. I'll send it over to you so you can, you know, you can share it or put it up as a,
great. I'll share it with our group. Definitely.
And people can modify it. And I, you know, I give it to all my clients, they all see it. So I'm like, hey, you need something like this in your business. I don't care what
awesome
you do.
Awesome value. I appreciate that, because I already see that that's a best filter right there.
Yeah. So they fill in this questionnaire, and I've been playing with, since talking to you in the last 3-4 months, of, am I bringing that on too early? Should I have a quick 10-minute phone call with them first and kind of feel them out before I send them a questionnaire? And I actually did it today for the first time, of talk to someone without having sent the questionnaire. But right before I dialed, I sent them the questionnaire.
Wow.
So I'm like, I'm sending you the questionnaire. I'm sending you a bio on me. So I have this thing, it's called 10 reasons. I'll send that over to you as well. So it's the 10 reasons why they should talk to me, or what's different about me. And it kind of talks about, it's like a resume, but
it's like a
bullet point resume. Yeah.
A warm-up vehicle.
Yeah. So I send them these two documents, and today I had the conversation, like literally I had a 10:30 my time, which is like 11:30 now. And I said, you know, I send this document over to you, I'll have a quick chat, kind of find out where you're at. And then when, and if you send this questionnaire back to me, then I'll book another call with you. And so then it comes back to me. I've had a chance to review it. When they send it back, I send them a link to my calendar, like you do, right? Like, here's access to me. And when I see the questionnaire, I know which time slot to give them. So I have a 30-minute call or a 1-hour call.
Okay.
And if I look at their numbers and I look at their business and where they're at, and I, like this one today, she's an RMT wanting to branch out on her own, just wants her own office. She doesn't want to be in an office with someone else. She can't afford my fee. Like, I know that. There's nothing I can do to grow her that much to justify. So she's going to get a 30-minute phone call.
I got it.
And my price is, you know, less than my 30 grand. It works out to 18 grand a year. It's still expensive. But from there I can downsell. So I always throw the big number at them, because then when I back it up and they're like, oh, I can do group coaching for 6 grand a year or $500 a month. Well, that, I can afford that. Cool. Right. If I start at the bottom and try and push them up, I find that harder for me. So scare the shit out of them.
Yep.
Give them something to aspire to. Tell them why that one's important. And then take it all away. Look, it's totally up to you. And that's, I do that all the time, dude. It's up to you. I'm not going to make this decision for you. I'm not going to try and scare you into it or convince you or sell you or coach you. Like, here's a number. Here's what we do. You make the call. How much time do you need? And I, one of the questions in my questionnaire actually asks about their profile.
Oh, wow. So
do you know much about DISC or Myers-Briggs?
Yes, like absolutely.
So I have 4 questions in there that are around DISC. You know, are they a type A, type B, type C, or D person? The dominant and introvert and extrovert or a compliance type person. And from there, I know when I have that conversation in a half an hour, an hour long with them, I know which personality they are, and I talk to them, to their personality. So if they're dominant, I'm like, hey, like, what did you like in the questionnaire? When do you want to start?
Smart.
That's it.
That's if funny. Like, it's like deja vu, because Kev, he was sharing the same thing. He gives them a quiz, and then based on the quiz, he tailors the sales process around that.
Absolutely. The sales process is still the same. Like, if they're, like Kev was saying, I listened to that after the fact last week. So that was awesome, dude. Thanks for providing. I love the cost versus price statement that you made last week too. That was awesome. I talk to that personality. So if they like lots of information, I flood them with information, and I go like, okay, when do you want to make a decision by? I'll phone you back then.
Wow. So you don't give any type of urgency, like, hey, you got to make a deal right now or else you lose this price. You're just straightforward. These are the options. Take it or leave it.
Yeah. And I do that because one of my thinkings, or one of the things that I was ingrained in me from training 12 years ago, was don't discount. And that's what I said to you. Like, you know, I struggle with this, giving shit away for free or giving them a discount for buying right now. Like, I don't know. I just find that hard. I don't like it when people do it to me. So
people are savvy. And
they know it's a bullshit number. Like, everything on the internet ends in a 97, right? Like, really, where'd you fucking come up with that number?
Yeah. No, but so. you bring about a brilliant point, because you know, at the end of the day, most people understand if there is some type of urgency, it forces them to buy under urgency, and maybe they're not going to be the ideal client, right? Another thing is, you know, we talk about this, not discounting, but giving freely of your best information, but charging premium for implementation. So you're giving away a ton of free stuff, doing free challenges, amazing content. And then when it comes to working with you, it's a premium price and there's no discounts.
Absolutely. And I'm going to teach them how to do that in their business too, right?
Yes.
Like the number of people that I talk to, they're giving stuff away for, you know, for way below their market value. Having already done the freebies, it's just like crazy.
Yeah.
And so then they're complaining they don't have any money and they can't enjoy their lifestyle and they can't get away from their business because, well, you're not charging enough.
Yeah. And one thing I want to piggyback on is what you said earlier about having the ultra high VIP price and then the price you want to give them and even a drop down downsell price. And pretty much any business could do this, right? So as an example, let's say there's a fitness coach and they have a 12-week $5,000. That's their core program, but they wouldn't just mention that. They would say, hey, listen, I have my VIP top tier, highest level coaching that I offer. It's $20,000. It involves us working one-on-one. You fly in for a weekend. We work out one day together. We do meal prep one day together. You stay at a local hotel. I pick you up and we set your routines. And over 2 days, we have intimate one-on-one coaching. So having the live component, having that level of the highest level program, what ends up happening is 10% of people that already follow you, they just want the highest price option. Just like people go to restaurants and say, oh, $50 steak, $300 bottle of wine, I'll take that. Without even knowing what's in there, they just want the best. Yeah. You know, so you have-
Yeah, they want to tell their friends they got the best.
Oh, absolutely. You know,
right? They want to tell their friends they're the only guy who works with this guy and he only has one client a year that deals at this level. They want that. They feel like they're special. Cool.
Yes. I got that for you. Exactly. So it has a two-part process. One, it positions you as charging $20,000, $30,000, right? You know, you basically name the price. And from a psychological point of view, people connect value with price. If you say there's two coaches walking into a room, one charges $100,000 a session, one charges $1,000 a session. Without knowing anything about the coaches, 99% of people say, oh, the 100K coach, that guy is much better, you know? So that's one psychological thing. Two is, even though you've never sold this package before, if they say yes, of course you could work it out. You got a hotel to stay at, you got a gym to go to, you know, you could work out the logistics. But what it does, it creates a price anchor to the highest price, 20K, 30K. And then when you say, okay, well, the program I recommend for you is only two payments of 2,500. So all of a sudden,
you take it away. You take it away. The takeaway sale is huge, right? Like, that's
yes.
So if you say, oh, well, you know, you're not ready for that yet, but we'll get there. They're like, no, yes. No, I want that. I want that. That's awesome. That's the best.
Yes. No, I remember like the first time I started offering that service, you know, it was a $30,000 package and it was a little scary, a little nervous, you know, but once I started practicing it and saying it, yeah, let's say most people say no, but the first time someone said yes, I said, really? You know, I was like, okay, cool. Let's do it. And then in my head, I'm like, holy cow, I have to deliver on this. And then all of a sudden I broke a new record. It's like Roger Bannister's 4 minute mile. Now we knew, holy cow, I could charge $30,000 in a single phone call. And then obviously the rest is history.
Yeah, but you're posting this thing on Elon Musk, right? Like lately, about what if Elon Musk called you and wanted a coach? The people that are charging $100,000 for a program versus $1,000 is exactly, they're the same, they have the same information in their head. Maybe one guy's a little bit better at delivering it, but it's ultimately about who has the most confidence to ask for the number.
Yeah.
And going back to what I said about when I was in training with these other coaches and they're throwing prices around. And, you know, my very first client that I had, he was an auto mechanic and I met him through a networking group and I sold him on the coaching program and I sold him on an extra thing. It was called an alignment. And that was like another half of what the coaching was for the month. So my first sale was a $3,000 a month client. It was like $2,000 for the coaching and $1,000 for alignment. And I had another coach who was helping me with this client because I never coached anybody. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, right? So I hired a coach to come in. And we sat in the meeting, the three of us, and we went through the whole thing, first meeting. And at the end of the meeting, the client leaves. He's already written me a check. I go to write the check to the coach who's helping me. And my deal with him was 50% of the monthly fee I was going to pay to him to help me coach this guy, right? So I write out a check to this guy, and we're sitting there talking, and he's telling me what he would have done differently in the next time we meet with this client the next week. Write in the checkout for $1,500. And he's like, no, it's only, you're giving me too much. I'm like, what? Like, we're only doing this for 1 month, he says, right? I'm like, yeah. He says, how much are you charging this guy? And I said, I'm charging him $2,000 for coaching and $1,000 for the alignment. So it's $3,000. So here's your half. Here's your $1,500. He's like, how the fuck did you do that? I'm like, what? I said, what do you charge your clients? He says, I've been doing this for 7 years. He'd been a coach, and he was charging his clients $1,000 a month.
Whoa.
Yeah. And he's the guy mentoring me. And I'm like, you're asking me how I charged two, and you're, holy shit. Okay, we're done after this month, because you're way below me. He's one of the guys I smashed in the numbers, right? Like, it was instantaneous. I surpassed his number. And so it's just that confidence to ask for it.
Absolutely. It's the confidence to ask for it, also perspective. And I'm sure a lot of you listening to this podcast, maybe it's the first time they've heard someone charge 30K consistently for their coaching. And it's like, whoa, Kyle could do it. Let me ask. And it doesn't hurt to ask. Like, then, you know, when people say, oh, how do I charge high ticket prices? What's the fastest way to increase my income? And I say, just ask. Just ask. Just, you know, have the confidence on your next call to say, here is my VIP option, and just create something that you could deliver on. From there, ask for it. And the more you ask, you shall receive.
Absolutely. And what's the worst they say is no?
Yes.
Too expensive?
Well, like Wayne Gretzky, right? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So that $20,000 package, $30,000 package, if you don't ask for it, you're never going to get it. If you ask for it, you get a no, then you say, okay, well, this is my other program. But I will guarantee you, your conversions will increase like crazy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So 100% it will. We have a question for you. Let's talk about pricing. When you first started coaching and didn't have clients, did you have to discount or start by scaring them with a higher number back then too?
Nope. I did exactly the same thing. I went in with my coaching was $2,000 a month to start. I didn't ever ask for checks up front. I'm still, I'm getting there. I'm closer to that mode of, you know, like, here's a single year price versus a monthly cost. I get them to sign a 1 year contract at a monthly price. So no, I asked for the $2,000. The only one I discounted outside of the mechanic was I had a telemarketer booking calls for me. And that was right when I first started. I put a $15,000 in my marketing budget when I started my coaching business. And I paid someone just to make dialing for dollars. And so the first two or three clients that I got, you know, I told them my price was $2,000. Oh, that's too much money. I can't afford that. And the guy who was mentoring me, not the guy I took on that other call, but was a manager guy, like following me around, and he was doing the selling, right? Cause again, I'm learning how to sell this. And he's like, oh yeah, we'll do it for $1,000. You know, you can be our first guinea pig. So he did that. I did that. Those clients don't stick. That's the thing. I think, you know, my experience is if you're discounting, those clients don't stick. They don't value what your cost is or your price is, because you don't value what your cost or your price is.
Yeah.
If you discount it, where's the value for them? Like, then they're like, oh, well, is he doing this for everyone? Could I got a better deal because I didn't grind him enough? It's my price. Like, that's what it is.
Absolutely. And it's the same thing. There's something magical. And, you know, people that have been in coaching more than a few years realize this, that once you set a standard for yourself, the world gives you that standard. Meaning that, let's say if you say, okay, I will not take on a client for less than $5,000 per session, then you'll get more of those clients. But if you one day slip up or you're in a financial scarcity place and someone says, hey, can you do a discount? You're like, you know what? I usually charge $5,000. I'll do $3,000 because, you know, it's just been a tough month for me. The moment you say yes to that is the moment where you set yourself up for a financial disaster.
Yeah.
You know, because then you get more people that want the discounts and you're going against your own personal standard.
Absolutely. And that guy that you're, because you want to, and usually what we do is, well, I'll give you a deal, but I need referrals from you to make up for it. Well, what does he do? He tells all his friends that he's referring to that he got a discount from you. So I just get fucking beat up with more lower priced guys, right? Because he's telling them, like, I only paid $3,000, man. Like, just push him a little bit. He'll give you a deal.
Yes.
Oh, fuck. I don't want to do this.
Next question. Angle positioning. This is a great question. I'm curious about this as well. You know, you are an amazing coach, but most people don't know that. They think coaching is a commodity. But what angle ended up helping you the most with your audience? How long did it take you to find your own spin or your own hook?
So that process probably, and I see that's from Shelby. I think that process took me a couple of years, to be honest with you, Shelby. Like, I didn't even know what my angle was because I hadn't done enough of it. So getting in and coaching more people allowed me the freedom and flexibility to understand what I'm really awesome at. Now my angle, my spin is profitability and time off. So I help people find more profitability in their business and do that in less time in a week. And so, like, when someone says, you know, $2,500 a month or 30 grand a year, that's a shit ton of money. Yeah, it is. But I also know that I can find my coaching fee, my 30 grand a year. I can find that in a decent sized business. Like, if they're doing over $250,000 a year, I can find that fee, my coaching fee, in 6 weeks. So really all it costs them is a 6 week investment, right? So it's $3,750. And then everything after that is bonus money to them because I'm finding my fee month after month after month, or the things that I give them to implement are lasting forever. It's like when I had a real big shift in my head was about 3.5 or 4 years in. And I had a client who came to me. He was a doctor, an ER doctor, but he bought himself a medical spa because he wanted leverage. He wanted to take his money from the doctor and give him something that he didn't have to work at, right? And when I met him, he had been in business for like 2 years or 3 years as a medical spa owner. And he was losing 30 grand a month. So when I throw out my fee is 30 grand, he's like, whatever. Like, I'm losing that in a month. Like, you're asking for it for a year. Cool. I could do that. And so I started working with this guy and it took some time to turn him around. But 3 years in, we were making 30 grand net profit, not gross. It took me about 9 months to get him to break even. And at the 4 year mark, I've been working with this guy. So, you know, he paid me a lot of money. It was $120,000+ over the course.
Wow.
At the 4 year mark, he was profiting 100 grand a month.
Holy cow.
At 7 year mark, we were $350,000 to $400,000 net months, month after month after month. And so, like, it's invaluable. It's slightly different in what we're doing in the fitness side. And I own fitness gyms, so I get it too, right? Like, what you're providing is a lifestyle change. This is a body you're going to have forever if you keep doing the shit I teach you. That's the thing. They have to keep doing the shit you teach them, right?
Yes. So
you got to find that spin that, you know, is it longevity? Is it quick wins? Is it just a relationship and someone that they can bounce ideas off of? Because let's face it, like, I don't care who or what we coach. People just want someone at their side to hold their hand when they're down and kick their ass when they're up. Right?
Yes.
That's what we do. And all of us coaches are the same. Like, Kev's doing the same with his female clients that are having a relationship problem. Like, he kicks their ass and, like, stop doing that, or here's what you need to do, and kind of coddles them a bit. That's what we all do. And so understanding kind of when to switch the switch on and off from kicking ass to holding hands is, I think, our gift.
I think one of the best things that we could do, I'm actually going to do this. I did this before, but it's a really powerful exercise. And it's literally writing down the cost of not investing in you. How much negative life situations, experiences, whether it's depression, whether it's losing years of life expectancy, losing money, profits, freedom. I mean, you could make a list. And when you make that list, one, you realize how valuable you are and how the price of working with you is so much cheaper than the cost of all of those negative things happening if they remain the same. But at the same time, when you're on a sales call, when you're able to communicate that, even in your marketing, if you could use it in their own words the best way possible, all of a sudden your positioning is at the top, because most people are scared to talk about the pain, right? Most people go into obviously talking about the future. You know, you're going to add another $20,000 in income. You're going to lose 10 pounds. You're going to finally find your dream relationship, but also saying, well, what's the cost of being lonely? What's the cost of being broke? What's the cost of being depressed? And if you get super specific, and the secret is to talk more about the symptoms than you talk about the pain, right? So let's talk about being broke. Great example, right? Okay. Are you tired of being broke? Okay, that's kind of vague, but are you tired of using your credit card and it gets denied? Are you tired of having a bounced check and all of a sudden you got to pay the fees? I mean, there's these horrible symptoms. We've all been there, but talking about the symptoms, oh, wow, a visual representation of that pain is far more powerful than it gets them off their ass to take action and hire you.
Absolutely. And that was one of the things that I, like being a sales guy, I always got that. I understood it. I learned how to sell that way. But when I started coaching, I didn't know how to frame it, right? Like how to position it that way exactly. And so, you know, I've learned some tricks and understanding what the value of those things are. Not just monetary, but I think, like you said, a lot of it has to do with time and family and how they feel about themselves, right? Depression or lack thereof. So if you can unlock that key and you can be their kind of unruly friend who's polite but not nice to them, then that makes a massive difference in the relationship.
Brilliant point. People do not buy from their friends. They buy from an expert, right? So about 6 months ago, I had knee surgery with an orthopedic surgeon. He was a bit of a dick, to be quite honest with you. And if he was my friend, I wouldn't take him seriously. He was like, hey, AJ, what's up, bro, man? This is going to be awesome. Man, I can't wait to hook up your leg and we get beers afterwards. I don't want beers. I want to walk, man. You know, so when he's coming to me and he's very professional, kind of cold, to be quite honest, but very authoritative and he's the alpha, I'm literally paralyzed. I can't walk. I want my leg to be better. And he's very straightforward. Hey, listen, we have a serious situation here. We have to reattach your quadricep muscle. You may not walk ever again. This is a risk we have to take. You're going to be in a lot of pain and you messed up really bad. Now you have to fix it. He's just very stern and very honest. And some of the things he was saying was very hurtful and very scary, but that's why I hired him to do my surgery. And it's the same thing with us, right? I think the word I like to call it is like a loving alpha, okay? So you don't have to be a dick, but you could be the alpha. But just showing them that you care, and it comes down to what you said earlier about how important caring is.
Yeah, absolutely. Like their friends and their family aren't going to say the things they need to hear, just like you're saying with the doctor, right? Like they want to be your buddy and they want you to like them, so they're not going to say those things. Whereas the coach's role is like, hey, like you want a result? I'll get you the result. You might not like how I get there, but I'm going to get you the result you want. So how bad do you want that result?
Yes.
How dedicated or how committed to you are this?
The other question I have for you, Kyle, this is a personal question because you are such an action taker. I mean, you are super consistent. I never hear you complain. You have a very beautiful mindset and you're very busy. You know, you have four children, you have a wife, you have a lot of fun hobbies. You're not just working all the time, but you're really living a rich, enjoyable life. Do you have some type of routine, daily routine for your success?
Absolutely. You know, I've started following what you were doing with the 5-day challenge on the mindset, back in December. And so I have a similar kind of process where I have I am statements similar to what you're doing. So, you know, setting my intentions for the day. And funny enough, I have those in a variety of different forms. So I have them on paper, I have them on my computer, and they're in a variety of different locations. So if I'm feeling down, then I make sure to pull those out many more times a day than just beginning and end. So that's really important. I've actually implemented just in the last kind of 2.5 months or so, AJ, 2 months, where if I'm feeling down and I know it, I got to get out of the house. So I'll hop in my car and I'll go for a drive and I'll listen to audiobook. And like I had one day just before Christmas, I drove about 300 miles in the day. I was gone for 6 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, dude.
And I just, 6 hours?
I just drove. I just got in the car and drove. I drove east and I kind of got near the end of where the highway was going to stop raining and start snowing. And I'm like, okay, I got to turn and get away from this. And I kind of did a big loop and I just kind of drove, just drove roads. And it was like, there was nowhere to go, but I just listened to a book. And actually I cranked through a book on Monday, did the same thing. I was like, got into it. I had no intention of going for that long, but I'm really big on, I can control my mindset and I can only do that by things I do. And so, you know, complaining about it online or talking to my coach or my mentors or whatever, it doesn't help. Like I got to get my head switched. So reading, learning, listening is massive in my plan and in my day. And I have, from my time, 7 day challenge, I follow a default diary. So every day is the same for me. Like we have our 11 o'clock, well, it's 11 for me, right? West Coast, but we have 11 o'clock Thursday. I don't miss that. Like, that's part of my routine. So I'm all about routine and following a schedule. I don't let people barge into someone else's time. And I heard a really important message early on in my career that said, you are your most important client. And so I block time for me. I block time to do things that are important to me. And that might be water skiing. It might be going for a drive. It might be with my wife. It doesn't matter. But the people who reach into my world wanting my time, they don't get access to it unless they've earned it, right? Because I'm not going to give up time with my wife or my kids to go with a client. Like, client says, I can only meet on Wednesday at 6 o'clock at night. Hey, you need to find another coach because I don't work then. It's pretty simple. So if you're really dedicated and kind of driven with what you want, you don't let those other things distract you. So I'm really focused on keeping to my plan and my goals and my default plan.
Wow. I love that. I mean, the default diary, that's a strategy I'm going to start implementing. That's killer.
Well, you know, you do a lot of that now, right? Like I've heard you say you get up and you go to the gym and you come home and you have a shower and then, and you have a nap. And
yes.
You get to work and then you have another nap maybe later in the day. You introduced me to naps when we met in California, whatever, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, team and, naps.
And you said something. I asked you something about what do you do, or you were leaving early, actually. You're getting up to go. And I'm like, you're leaving early? Yeah, dude, I got to have my nap. I'm like, what? Like, you paid money to come here and you're leaving in the middle of the day to go to a nap. Yeah, it's part of my routine.
You must.
Yeah, dude. And I don't have my nap scheduled. I kind of, when I crash, right? Like my Wednesdays and Thursdays are really big coaching days for me. I got a lot of clients and I go back to back.
Okay. So
when I'm done at like, I'll start on Wednesday at 6 a.m. and I'll go till 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And that's, you know, back to back 6, 7, 8 hours.
Wow.
You're wiped out at the end of that 8 hours.
Oh yeah. Big time.
And I'll lie on the couch and my kids, I can hear them coming in the garage and I'm like, okay, I got to close my eyes. Cause if they see me awake, they're going to want to talk. So I'm going to have a little power nap.
Same with my girlfriend.
Yeah. So you power nap through it. You get up and you go and you're done. And you know, it might be an hour, it might be an hour and a half. I can't turn it on. Like, I know you do little ones, right? Like you're like 20 minutes.
20 minutes. Yeah. I train myself and I have a alarm to go off.
I got to do that. Cause like, yeah. I can be 2 hours some days.
It's a risk. It's dangerous sometimes when you take a nap, but you know, you can wake up and not know where you are and miss 3 appointments.
Yeah. I don't miss appointments. I always make sure that when I'm napping, it's kind of on my free time.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. No, but you're right. To me, the 20-minute power nap, there's this track on YouTube. It's called Deep Sleep, and it's like delta waves. I don't know how much it works, but for some reason, you know, it's my brain is conditioned for 20 minutes. It's a 20-minute track, and then as soon as it's over, I wake up, and I do it, yeah, pretty religiously because I have routine. Wake up, go to the gym, come back, eat, nap, and then start my day.
Yeah. Cool.
So
I don't know if I answered your question about my routine. Did I answer it?
Yes. Yeah, spot on.
It's consistent. Every day is consistent.
Get into a car, drive 6 hours away from your family and have some me time.
It's about consistency, right? Like I know that if that's what I need to do to be the best me and to be the guy who my clients need to show up, which is the energetic, enthusiastic, kind of caring guy, I got to be fresh, man. I can't be a piece of shit. I can't be negative thinking and I got to be...
Yeah.
That's what everyone's needing right now, right? They need that pick me up. They need that boost of energy. They're kind of almost plug into you like a car charger or cell phone charger.
That is true. Yeah. I believe in the importance of being in a great state, being very resourceful. A calm mind is a creative mind, and a creative mind brings you a lot of success in life. And the same thing. That's why I'm a big believer in naps. I literally saw a significant increase in my income once I started implementing the daily nap, because it is a self-care. You are your best client, like you said.
Yeah.
All right. Final question. So I live in New York and we have Times Square. As you know, Times Square is the center of the universe. Man, there's so much stuff going on there. And let's say we all chipped in about $20 million and got you the biggest billboard in Times Square. And all we ask of you is, Kyle, can you put the one sentence that is the most responsible for your business success? And you want the whole world to see this, because right now the world's in a tough place. I mean, the US itself is $1 trillion in debt. We're in an economic craziness, downturn. But this principle, this one principle, will get people out of financial disaster and into abundance. What would you have on that billboard?
That was the opening quote you asked me about earlier, which is, if it's meant to be, it's up to me.
Wow.
I'm a firm believer in that, man. Like I watch people and, you know, complain about all the issues going on in their life. Change it. I was on a call this morning, first thing, and there's a husband and wife, and they were going on and they were nattering at each other in the middle of a Zoom call. And I'm like, you guys are supposed to be presenting your business. And I typed to another friend in the group and I said, why doesn't she just leave them? Like, that's all that needs to happen. Like, they're both, our lives would be so awesome if they just did something to make this different, right? Like, you don't stay in a shitty situation. Change it. It's up to you. Change it.
Wow. I love that. That's really simple. It's a self-responsibility. And without a doubt, I mean, I found that myself, because I take responsibility for everything. Even when I tore my quadricep, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. It's my fault. I'm not blaming the wet staircase, you know, I'm not blaming the outside forces. Everything is my fault. And I feel like that's the most successful thought you could have, because then it puts it into your control.
Amen, brother.
Yes. Extreme ownership.
There was a great picture, a slide that I've seen that I use all the time with clients. And it's, there's two types of people in the world. There's people that live above the line and below the line. Have you seen that one?
No.
So if you're above the line, write down the word or vertically. Ownership, accountability, responsibility. Those are people above the line. People below the line, bed. Blame, excuses, and denial.
Wow. Holy cow.
And if you look at the best of the best in the motivational and speaking world, they spend most of their time up above, right? Most employees spend their time below.
That's an excellent point. That is so beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like right before this, I was having a conversation with someone who just had the worst victim mindset. And in that conversation, it was like 20 excuses, and it was just making me nauseous. And they were just complaining about all these things going wrong in their life. And they're definitely not an or person. They're a bedwetter. And
yeah. I didn't say wetter. I didn't say that. Yeah.
Oh, but man, it's literally everything, right? So OAR, ownership, accountability, and responsibility.
Absolutely. I'll send a slide over to you, because I've changed it, and I've got like this picture. It says responsibility, and it's got a picture of a dog with like a little broom and the shovel, like picking up its own shit, right? Like,
wow. Props to that dog.
Yeah, right? Yeah. There's just like little things like that. So I'm all about kind of acronyms, and that's helped huge to keep things set in people's minds, right? So yeah. Did you get it there, Shelby, about the or? Awesome.
Yes. All right.
I'll send it over to you, though, so you can forward that along with a background questionnaire and the kind of stuff that I send in a presentation.
Yeah, you were Mr. Value. All right. Thank you so much for adding so much value.
You're welcome, buddy.
And, you know, you have amazing skill set. Obviously, your results speak for themselves. You know, if people want to connect with you or even refer businesses to you, people that need help, what's the best way to get contact with you?
Super simple. My name, Kyle, at coachkyle.ca.
Got it. Kyle at coachkyle.ca. Yes. So I appreciate you, Kyle. Thank you for your generosity, your wisdom, your jokes, and just everything, man. I got a lot out of this workshop, you know, it's stuff that I need to get my ass on. So
anything to help, buddy, you know that I'm a giver, right? And I think that's another important part. Give before you get.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. It was great talking to you and sharing some information. And if, like I said, if you want any more info, feel free to reach out.
Yes. Yes. We'll definitely hit you up.
And I'm going to see you on Thursday next week.
Yes, sir. Take care.
Thanks for showing up. Thanks for last week, by the way. That was huge, dude.
Thanks for listening to the Online Super Coach Podcast. If you like this show, share it with your friends and subscribe on iTunes. For show notes and for free training on how you can attract, convert, and deliver like a $1 million online coach, visit OnlineSuperCoach.com.